All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Real information, good conversation, unabashedly Wisconsin. Here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Welcome back to the second hour of Up North News Radio for this Monday, January 16th. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Aaron Zommers is with us back in Madison on this Martin Luther King Day, where we are going to talk about a fake elector who is somehow still a member of the Wisconsin Elections Commission and the significance of recent comments he made, taking delight in what could charitably be called the suppression of Black votes in the Milwaukee area. 844-967-2789 is your phone number. If you want to use a 715 Up North number, call 715-388-7155 or send us an email, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. Again, many thanks to folks who were patient enough to allow me to take last week off. We ran some best of shows. Hope it gave you a chance to catch up on some of the great guests that we have had since Up North News Radio began in August and moved to this early morning time slot in early November. It's great to have you along 5 days a week from 6 to 8 o'clock here on Civic Media, where the Civic Media radio station family has grown yet again. And we want to welcome the folks in Green Bay who are joining us now at WGBW FM 97.9 AM 1590. It is so nice to have you here joining our listeners in another half dozen stations or so all across Wisconsin as part of Civic Media. The Civic Media family has grown to the point where it seems like it's a great time not just to fire up the old contest machine, but to do it in a way that brings, frankly, a tremendous economic benefit to hometown businesses all across Wisconsin. And that's exactly what's happening with the new $1 million advertising giveaway. You heard that right. Civic Media is giving away $1 million in advertising. So save the date of Thursday, August 26th. All right. It's not that far away, but come Thursday, January 26th, you'll be able to fill out an application to win a part of that giveaway and a chance for you to work with the Civic Media team to create a radio advertising campaign that promotes your business all across the network, and it's all for free. Again, that'll start at 9 a.m. on Thursday, January 26th. You can get more information at civicmedia.us/million. You can also learn more by looking at our posts at Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And then just be sure to let everyone know you heard about the $1 million ad giveaway on Up North News Radio very early in the day. So I heard about this while I was on vacation last week, and I just thought that was such a great idea that you're a new product, Civic Media, local radio stations. And trust me, as somebody who has worked for a very long time in TV and radio, and then as somebody who was a candidate buying time on radio and TV, the one barrier that has always been there is the cost. It's not cheap to run a bunch of transmitters. Same can be said for printing presses and the people that you pay behind the scenes. And so if you're looking for any opportunity to get your name out there for your small business, you can't do better than free. And so I would really encourage everybody to be a part of that process on January 26th, where folks fill out their application information, and then winners are chosen, and then they get not just free advertising, but free help in designing an advertising campaign that's going to work for them. So we are so happy to tell you about that. And again, go to civicmedia.us to learn more. If you missed it last night, yesterday afternoon, I guess, the football playoffs continued with the Minnesota Vikings losing to the New York Giants 31-24. I was telling folks in the last hour about how our flight back from vacation, our connecting flight was in Newark, and we rode with what could be charitably described as a party bus full of Giants fans on their way to the Twin Cities. And I feel like I heard every one of them on TV yesterday during the game, whenever there was a big Giants play and you'd hear the Giants fans at US Bank Stadium. And I thought, yeah, I know those voices. They sat right with us there on the plane. They were going to stay awake all night and then get back on a plane at 6 o'clock this morning to fly back to New York. I hope they all made it. I'm not really confident that they did based on a few of the folks that I met there, but they, suffice to say, had a very good time making that trip out to Minnesota. The 49ers beat Seattle. Jacksonville defeated the LA Chargers. Buffalo over Miami, Cincinnati over Baltimore, and then tonight Dallas takes on Tampa Bay. And that will end the first round of the playoffs. And then it's off to the divisional round schedule, which we'll tell you about a little bit later on. Badger basketball team, the men lost Saturday at Indiana. The women lost Sunday to Indiana. Marquette men lost to number 12 Xavier yesterday. So that sets you up there. And then on this Martin Luther King Day, there will be a full slate of NBA games, including the Milwaukee Bucks hosting Indiana. And that is an afternoon game, 1:30 this afternoon at the Fiserv Center in Milwaukee as they try to break a two-game losing streak. All right, we continue our look at what all I missed while I was gone last week, what's new and what's really not that new, but same old, and we'll tell you more after this break. You're up north.
It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come.
Oh, quarter past the hour now. Welcome back to Up North News Radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Of the many things that happened while I was away last week, many of them were not terribly surprising in terms of either Republican obstructionism or obstinance or misinformation or circus-like hijinks. And we're going to get to some of these this hour as we catch up on things that happened while I was away. But where I want to start with is one that was a relatively brand new development in an old story. And I'm going to lean rather heavily on Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area. If you are not subscribed to his newsletter, Dan Schaefer's Recombobulation Area, please go fix that. Be a paid subscriber, which, I mean, you can probably do that for like $5 or something. It is worth your time to subscribe. And I will again make that pitch that it's worth your while to subscribe to certain news sites, whether you're getting the journal or the state journal, as the case may be. There are folks that definitely have earned that subscription, and you should be a part of it. In fact, I got to start me one of these Substack newsletters, which, I mean, I won't charge for, but this is what Dan Schaefer does. And he, by being a paid subscriber, you get to see even more of the work that is done out there.
Yeah, and it is $5.
All right, why am I talking about Dan?
It is $5 a month, by the way.
It's $5 a month?
Yep.
All right, there you go. I was right, $5 for the Recombobulation Area. This is also, by the way, gives me a chance to thank everybody, because at Up North News, which I again will add frequently, Up North News is a separate entity from Civic Media. The Civic Media folks are nice enough to let Up North News have this very valuable real estate for our use that we work together through a joint sales agreement. But Up North News, which you'll find at upnorthnewswy.com, does not have a paywall, won't have a paywall, but is very appreciative of donations because they do help us continue our work. And I'm the one that checks post office box 27 in Chippewa Falls, 54729, on a regular basis. And this is where I get to say thank you to all the folks who send in their own checks in increments of $5, if you will, always accompanied by just the nicest notes thanking us for what we do at Up North News. So again, thank you for the notes and the contributions you send to Courier Newsroom at P.O. Box 27, Chippewa Falls, 54729. Now back to subscribing to the Recombobulation Area and Dan Schaefer. His headline from the other day, Friday, it looks like, says this. A Republican leader bragged about voter suppression in Milwaukee. Can we finally stop blaming black voters? Wisconsin Elections Commissioner Bob Spindell boasted to fellow Republicans about declines in voter turnout in communities of color in Milwaukee. It's sick, and it's also emblematic of something more. This is what Dan Schaefer had to say, along with a guest column by Angela Lang, who is the executive director of BLOC, Black Leaders Organizing for Communities, who writes, earlier this week, Bob Spindell, a Republican commissioner on the bipartisan Wisconsin Elections Commission, wrote an email to fellow Republicans. It said, in the city of Milwaukee, with the 4th Congressional District Republican Party working very closely with the Republican Party of Wisconsin, Republican National Committee, Republican Assembly and State Senate campaign committees, statewide campaigns, and so forth, Spindell writes, we can be especially proud of the city of Milwaukee casting 37,000 less votes than cast in the 2018 election, with major reductions happening in the overwhelming black and Hispanic areas, end quote. Again, that's a member of the Wisconsin Elections Commission saying, and again, I'm quoting directly, we can be especially proud of the city of Milwaukee casting 37,000 less votes, should be fewer votes, than cast in 2018, with major reductions happening in the overwhelmingly black and Hispanic areas. That's not any kind of embellishment. That is what Bob Spindell said, word for word. So Angela Lang, writing in the Recombobulation Area, writes that she heard what happened to black voter turnout. She hears that so much as the executive director of a black-led political and civic engagement organization in a swing state. And she says, whenever that question comes up, it's usually in a condescending tone, followed by, if you people would have just voted, we wouldn't be in this mess. And Angela Lang writes, I feel like I was chasing that accusatory question for my whole career. Time and time again, I've said voter suppression is the issue. We talk about voter suppression, and then we wonder why turnout can be down. We saw how the pandemic was weaponized as another tool of voter suppression by forcing us to vote in person in April of 2020. We saw how just 5 polling places were open in Milwaukee. Milwaukee is home to the nation's most incarcerated zip code, 53206. Mass incarceration impacts people's ability to vote. And more recently, we've seen the elimination of absentee ballot drop boxes. Before the November election and conversations with reporters, I was inoculating against this inevitable narrative. Now you flash forward, Angela Lang writes, to Spindell's comments. This is someone, Spindell, who was one of Trump's fake electors in the 2020 election, and still, somehow, I add, serves on the Wisconsin Elections Commission. This is the group that is supposed to uphold democracy and the integrity of our elections, Angela Lang writes. Spindell said the quiet parts out loud. We've known for years that voter suppression has been a well-thought-out plan. We can cite similar examples of coordinated voter suppression dating back 10 years. Lang writes, black folks have had to jump through hurdles to combat the systemic oppression that limits our access to democracy. Voter suppression started out as literacy tests and poll taxes, and now has taken a more subversive approach. We try to remind people of these things every single election cycle when people want to blame us when the election doesn't go a particular way. While many of us have sounded the alarm about how hard our work can be, it wasn't always seen as a valid reason for why turnout may have gone down. Some people are just dead set on painting our community as lazy and apathetic instead of putting the responsibility on how society has failed to make democracy work for everyone. Bob Spindell said what we've known for years. Langa says, I'm writing this article because these words cannot be swept under a rug. one of the things that I just assumed was part of our society's societal or social contract is that no matter what side of the aisle you are on, we can agree that the more people there are participating in the democratic process, the better we all are. But that's no longer the case, she writes, and I wonder if it ever was. And it is deplorable that someone who serves as an election commissioner is able to brag about turnout being down in the black and brown communities. It's sick. He has no business remaining on the Wisconsin Elections Commission with that type of ideology. This is the same person that by serving as a fake elector contributes to the big lie. The big lie is that the 2020 election is somehow invalid and that somehow Milwaukee's votes shouldn't count. Not only is that not rooted in any shred of intelligent thought, but we see the people who believe this are actually the ones undermining the integrity of our elections. The call is coming from inside the House. And it's not like it was just Spindell acting alone either. This happened all throughout the Republican Party post 2020. Republican Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu reappointed Spindell to the Wisconsin Elections Commission after the fake electors plot. From here on out, Lang concludes, I challenge people to really think about the gravity of this political climate we're in right now when analyzing why black turnout is the way it is. There's real work happening all across the city. Let's not minimize it by blaming a community with some of the most disenfranchised and focus instead the real criticism on where it needs to be, on people like Bob Spindell and his allies who are proud of minimizing access to democracy at every chance they get. And I think that's the end of the Angela Lang article. And I think that it was only appropriate to share that on Martin Luther King Day and to tell you again that to read it in full, that you should become a paid subscriber to the Recombobulation Area and read the other work that Dan Schaefer does so very well. And if you're not following him on Twitter and you are a regular Twitter user, you're making a huge mistake. And I'm sure that once the Twitter alternatives come up like Post and Mastodon and others, you'll want to follow Dan there along with Up North News, Civic Media, and all the rest. But I think of all of the things that happened last week while I was away, the one that sticks with me is people like Dan Schaefer, like Angela Lang, like many others saying, how is this not a bigger story? That a member of the State Elections Commission was a fake elector. That should have been a big story right there. How is he still there? How is he still able to vote on matters that control our elections? But he is there. And he was reappointed by Devin LeMahieu, the state Senate Republican leader, after it was learned that he was a fake elector. He's still there. And he's not sorry. And he's not backing away from anything that indicates a continued hostility toward allowing the maximum number of people to vote. Especially if that suppression comes in areas where you don't like the people there, either because of how they vote or for more nefarious reasons. Whatever the case may be, I want to make sure we spend part of this Martin Luther King Day not just looking back at a life of service and some of the accomplishments that are now 60 years old, but instead are looking forward. There's still work to be done. And it can't just be done out of anger about things that were recently said or recently done. It's got to be done with a proactive mindset that our destiny is in our own hands to a large degree. There are still people that will always be working against us. They'll be trying to rig the maps. They will be trying to clear the voter rolls of genuine credentialed voters. They'll still do that. But if we're organizing, if we're voting, if we're bringing people to the polls with us, if we're explaining the importance of each election, that does as much for what Dr. King would want from us than anything else we can do, which is to live a good life of service every day of the year, not just once. And so it is why I, again, offer up this reminder that while we are just off of a very grueling 2022 election campaign, there are two huge election dates to keep in mind. February 21st, which is in just a few weeks, and then again on April 4th. And it is on those days we will decide who sits on the Wisconsin Supreme Court, and it is an election for control of the court that may help finally turn the tide on the folks at, or the actions that have been done over the years from people like Bob Spindell and Devin Lemahue. We'll be back after this on Up North News Radio.
Follow Up North News with our daily newsletter. Go to our website, upnorthnewswi.com, and click newsletter on the top banner. Once again, here's Pat Kreitlow.
Gaslighter, denier, doing it.
Well, what a week it's been for misinformation and for the new Republican-led U.S. House being who we thought they were. Specifically that there is no laser focus on inflation. There's nothing there that really attacks any root causes of crime. It is the fake investigations, the dog and pony shows, the both sidesism. The both sidesism is so obvious and obviously ridiculous on the case of classified documents, the ones that were recently discovered at President Biden's home, where there was a textbook example of what former President Trump should have done, is right away, stop, back away, notify the proper authorities, have them come look at and retrieve the documents, look into whether there was any criminal wrongdoing, and let the process unfold. That's what's happening in the case of the Biden papers, of which there were somewhere between, what, 6 and 20, not the hundreds and hundreds of boxes of documents ranging from classified to top secret, and resisting turning them over despite numerous requests that necessitated search warrants, and insisting that they're your documents, not that they don't belong to the American people. The two cases are so far from both sidesism that I can't help but be thankful that there are places like Civic Media, Courier Newsroom, and Up North News to help people understand. Because otherwise, the toughest thing that's going to be done now for the next few weeks or months is to help explain the difference. If we weren't around, the both sidesism would be dripping so heavily, be a deluge, that people would simply equate both cases as being done and handled exactly the same way when they are anything but, Aaron.
Yeah. Is it careless to have 15, 20 documents in your garage or in an old office? Sure. Especially the garage thing. The office, like whatever, especially because as far as we understand, they were classified, not top secret. So it's probably like the equivalent of personal health information in the medical industry, like, oh no, someone's birthday is in there, like that type of thing, that it's not good, but it's not a state secret kind of thing. But even if it is, that's still a far lower number. It's immediately self-reported and it is careless, not actively malicious.
The point especially being that for most Democrats, if there's some wrongdoing involved, we actually want to see the person punished. Al Franken is no longer a senator. He was facing punishment. If Hunter Biden is actually accused of doing something criminal, we want him to be charged because we're kind of here for the rule of law. We're not going to make excuses. And the same goes for anything sloppy that Joe Biden might have done with these papers. You don't blindly defend something because there's a D or an R next to their name. But you also don't equate the two when they are not equal by any stretch of the imagination. And that takes us to Ron Johnson, who was on Meet the Press yesterday for reasons I don't understand. He was reelected thanks to a barrage of racist ads paid for by billionaires but he's in the minority. He's irrelevant for the next 6 years unless you give him oxygen. And Chuck Todd did yesterday, and Ron Johnson thought he was just going to get to spread more of his both sides-isms about Hunter Biden and others. Chuck Todd, to his credit, was having none of that. Here's some of their exchange.
I have skepticism of both parties. I sit here with skepticism of a lot of people's work. And I'm curious, were you at all concerned? Your Senate Democrats want to investigate Jared Kushner's loan from the Qatari government when he was working in the government negotiating many things in the Middle East. Are you not concerned about that? And I say that because it seems to me if you're concerned about what Hunter Biden did, you should be equally outraged about what Jared Kushner did.
I'm concerned about getting the truth. I don't target individuals.
You're targeting Hunter Biden. You're targeting an individual.
Part of the problem, and this is pretty obvious to anybody watching this, is you don't invite me on to interview me. You invite me on to argue with me. You know, I'm just trying to lay out the facts that certainly Senator Grassley and I uncovered. They were suppressed. They were censored. They interfered in the 2020 election. Conservatives understand that. Unfortunately, liberals in the media don't. And that's part of the things part of the reasons our politics are inflamed is we do not have an unbiased media. We don't. It's unfortunate. I'm all for a free press. Well, it needs to be more unbiased.
Look, you can go back on your partisan cable cocoon and talk about media bias all you want. I understand it's part of your identity. Let me move to what happened in Brazil.
Okay, so there was Chuck Todd at least not having it when Ron Johnson does what Ron Johnson does best. When he can't answer a question, he blames the people asking the questions. The silence was amazing when Chuck Todd said, "Why aren't you as upset about Jared Kushner?" And I'm sure some of you thought there was just some dead air, that we didn't open up our microphone in time. No, that was Ron Johnson in his head going, "Humana, humana, humana. What do we do about this?" And it was, "Oh, blame Chuck Todd." He has no answer for that, because it's what Ron Johnson does is to divert attention from the lack of an actual legislative agenda that would help the middle class. Similarly, you're going to see these fake investigations about January 6th. Yes, instead of Republicans helping to investigate the insurrection, they want to investigate the investigators, which essentially is just furthering the work of those who attacked our elections and our democracy on January 6th. And so Jamie Raskin, a member of the January 6th committee, was asked about that. And he told CNN, he's not really that concerned if Republicans want to attack the January 6th investigation, because we know what's going to come of it. Here again is Jamie Raskin.
But look, the people have a right to know. If they want to rerun the January 6th investigation, then more power to them, because all roads lead to the exact same place. Donald Trump refused to accept no for an answer from the American people and tried to overthrow the 2020 election. If they think that Antifa was really behind it and Donald Trump, then they can have at it, and we would love to be part of such an investigation.
Congressman Jamie Raskin, thanks for joining us. And again, all of us are praying and sending you our best wishes when it comes to your health.
So they're again, a part of a CNN interview there saying, look, you can try to investigate January 6th, but that one's not going to be the same as, you know, shouting Benghazi over and over from the rooftops, because we know where January 6th leads. But there will continue to be other fake investigations. Here's Congressman Tom Tiffany from up north talking about how, again, the thing that they want to investigate is the science behind the COVID-19 pandemic. They're looking to defend the people who are backing quackery and using horse paste as a potential cure. Tom Tiffany thinks the people like Dr. Fauci who were calling that out now need to be investigated by Congress.
Mission. What would you say as an example, going to your mention of COVID-19, of the DOJ specifically working to, and federal investigators working to squash someone's free speech on Twitter with regard to COVID?
Well, think back when Jen Psaki was the communications director for the White House. This is a little over a year and a half ago. And she said to the social media companies from her official platform, she said, this administration is going to go after misinformation. Well, it turns out much of that information that was coming out was not misinformation. It was accurate information, but they wanted just one side
this. Like what was an example of misinformation that ended up being true?
For example, when Francis Collins, the head of the National Institute of Health, told Dr. Fauci, you have to stop this stuff about ivermectin being an effective medicine that could be used. Many doctors across the country have used it effectively. And Dr. Fauci, shortly after that, came out and said, that's simply horse medicine. They were not willing to look at alternative methods of being able to treat COVID. I mean, that's just one example.
It's one example of an alternative medicine that wasn't an alternative medicine because it was tested and it didn't work. But again, rather than acknowledge the science, it's a lot easier to play politics with a pandemic, which is something that Tom Tiffany wants to do. And again, great questioning by A.G. Byatpour on Capital City Sunday from WKOW-TV, where that clip came from. So again, between the imaginary crimes that are going to be investigated by Congress to a legislature that will not stop its efforts to suppress voters, there's a lot of things that simply haven't changed, even after the voters told Republicans in November, you really should be working for the American people instead. Tom in Madison wants to join us now. Tom, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. Bob Spindel seems to be part of a group that includes Andrew Hitt, former chairman of Wisconsin GOP, and Reince Priebus, who is now a lobbyist. And they seem to center around a law firm. I wonder if you could remind me of the name of that law firm.
I would love to, but
Reince Priebus is there. It's kind of like GOP Grand Duke Marshall Central for Wisconsin to inhibit voters, suppress voters. And they were the focus of the gerrymandering efforts. If you picked it up yet this morning in today's show, I'd appreciate it.
Sure. Sounds good. And I again will apologize for not having that. My vacation brain is still well in effect, but it's a great point, Tom, and I appreciate the call. Thank you very much for, again, making sure we understand that while Republicans could be working toward things that help the middle class, they are instead defending the efforts of fake electors like Bob Spindel to still sit on the Wisconsin Elections Commission. That's what we're going to be hearing instead. We're going to be hearing more misinformation like, well, while I was away, Tom Tiffany was called out by PolitiFact for making a claim that Joe Biden left Marines behind in Afghanistan and he left a Marine behind in Russia when, again, he knows he's not telling the whole story in there. And yet this is where we sit with a Congress that is instead going to take its fake subpoenas or fake investigations and issue subpoenas about them. And Robert joins us from West Dallas to talk about that. Robert, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. I just had a quick question. Did Kyrsten Sinema going from the Democratic Party to independent, does the Senate still have subpoena power? And if so, could they use it not to investigate the members of Congress that were involved with the lead-up of January 6th, as well as Clarence Thomas's wife, Jenny Thomas, put her under oath? Is that something they can do, or have they lost the subpoena power with Sinema changing from a Democrat to independent?
It's a great question, Robert. Thank you. The short answer is I don't know with great certainty, but I think the more complete answer is so long as there is a Joe Manchin in there as well and others, I think that any subpoena and investigatory power is going to be extremely limited. I think we have seen the bulk of what we will be allowed to see in terms of public investigations because of the work of the January 6th committee. And we would not have even seen that if Republicans from Kevin McCarthy on down had decided to be part of the January 6th committee. They could have caused it to be a circus and suppressed all the things that we've discovered. But the gang that couldn't shoot straight took themselves away. We learned what we have, and hopefully we'll start to see some consequences of it over the next couple of years from the DOJ. Back with more after this. You're up north. That Whitney Houston song talking about $1 million bill. It was supposed to be my cue to remind you that we're giving away $1 million in advertising across the Civic Media Radio Network. Go to civicmedia.us/million and learn how your small business can take part and not just get some free advertising, but some free help with an advertising campaign. Terry Bell joins us now from the Civic Media Newsroom. And Terry, I'm going to come to you with I guess partial apologies to our listeners. There were so many things from last week, we didn't get to all of them. And just from the standpoint of the Wisconsin legislature, there was the story about Republicans saying there is no pathway to legalizing marijuana, even though it's something like 80% of the Wisconsin population supports. There was continued dragging of Republicans for pushing a flat tax plan, which of course is going to be vetoed. So why are we even talking about it? But let's talk about it, because we can talk about all the terrible things a flat tax would do to Wisconsin. And then there was the debate late last week about so-called conversion therapy, which is nothing more than, you know, pro-abuse, pro-torture, anti-child, rooted in religious bigotry, and now endorsed by Republicans in the Wisconsin legislature. And that's just a sample. You you never get bored covering things down there in Madison, Terry, do you?
No, things are a lot more lively than you knew these things were coming. There was all the usual talk that you get around inauguration time about finding common ground. But right away, everybody goes to their corners and starts speaking to their base. And that's part of what we come to expect.
And part of what's got to be covered. And, at least it will get somewhat more substantive as we go on through this week. And that's only because Governor Tony Evers will deliver his State of the State address a week from tomorrow. And so later on this week, we will, of course, start to ramp up what kinds of things the governor is likely to talk about and, you know, how will Republicans respond? And then, of course, the magic question is, you know, will there be any middle ground to be found in some of these some of the instances of policy that Governor Evers is going to talk about? I guess there's no casino there in the Capitol, but if there were, I wouldn't necessarily put money down on any cooperation between those two.
No. It just seems like the legislative process, instead of trying to get anything done, it's pretty much just speaking to the base and trying to score those political victories. There's some hope that because of the last election, that the climate is shifting a bit in the districts to the point where which lawmakers have to be responsive, but right now we're not seeing a lot of that from what's coming out of the State House.
So that part, you know, hasn't changed a lot while I was away. And one of the things that's new and now never gets old is everything about George Santos, the fraud from New York, who's a new Republican congressman. And we keep learning different things. We've learned over the past week that he's neck deep in a Ponzi scheme that he was a part of, as we look into how he got the money for his campaign. And I mean, Terry, the memes never get old. I mean, I know, again, it's somewhat sacrilegious, but yes, you will see memes today of George Santos standing next to Martin Luther King during the March on Washington, because he is just such a, he just lends himself. It's comedic material. to keep from thinking constantly about what a tragedy it is that a complete personal fraud somehow got elected to Congress.
It is a tragedy, but I think it's kind of, he's the symptom, not the problem. This is where we get when we treat the entire process like a debate show, a sporting event, you know, a shouting talk show, that sort of thing. That's kind of what we get. Facts be darned, when things. And there was an effort. I mean, there was a local media outlet that actually reported on all of the things that he was misrepresenting himself about, and nobody picked up on it.
No, because it's far too easy, like Ron Johnson did on Meet the Press yesterday, to simply bash, you know, all media as the media. And it makes it easy to lose sight that on the local level, there are people, you know, there in New York, and there are, we've really talked up Dan Schaefer earlier this hour. There are journalists in Wisconsin. There are folks like you that have spent a lifetime asking tough questions of Wisconsin leaders. And it really is important for folks to not just follow the big general national talking point, but, you know, what local reporters like you are doing.
And, you know, right here in Wisconsin, you could argue, you know, in the third district, we had somebody who was in Washington on the day of the insurrection. You know, he denies being an active part of it. So it's one of those matters of depends on who you ask. But, you know, people got a good long look at his participation in that and went, well, okay, this is acceptable.
Well, again, a whole lot of political advertising can offset a lot of what, you know, a lot of journalism work that is done out there. But, you know, despite that, it makes it no less important for local journalists to continue to do those stories. So to that, you know, and again, I really tip my cap to you and everybody who's working out there. Did I miss anything else fun while I was away last week? Did you get to work on anything important, or, you know, was it, I hear I missed some great winter weather, which is to say I didn't miss it at all, but apparently I didn't get to be exposed to it.
Things got a little dicey in terms of, anything that happened while you were gone. You know, I just, enjoyed a delicious glass of Viking fan tears. That was rather pleasant. Boy, I tell you, you know, over the long course of that season, the ups and downs of 18 weeks, and the Vikings were clearly the best team in that division, but when it's all said and done, the Vikings season was merely 60 minutes longer than the Packers season.
Yeah. And again, when you finish with that many wins, but still a negative point differential, I mean, that is basically the sports version of a house of cards. That you've built this house, but it wouldn't take much to tear it down. And the New York Giants folks certainly figured out a way to do that. And while I, you know, am chagrined that the Packers weren't in there, at least I knew to keep my mouth shut when I was on that plane from New York over the weekend with all those Vikings fans. At no point did I try to, you know, speak up for the Packers. If anybody asked me, I would have been like, well, I'm just quietly sneaking back into Wisconsin and hoping for a better season next year. But, you know, regardless, we still got things in our trophy case that they don't. So that's, I got that going for us, Vikings
absolutely
fans.
Absolutely the truth.
Terry Bell, good to talk to you. Hope you have a great week out there. Thanks for keeping us up to date on everything.
Of course.
And we appreciate you being here as well. Again, thanks so much for your patience and allowing me to have just some wonderful time off. Hope you join us now here 6 to 8 every weekday for Up North News Radio. You can follow us all day long at upnorthnewswi.com. Earl Ingram is next in Waukesha and Oshkosh. Stephanie Miller in Madison. Todd Alba around the rest of the Civic Media Radio Network. Have a great Monday. We'll see you tomorrow.